Now, turn please to God's Word as we find it in the book of Numbers. Read earlier some verses from Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. I've been reading the book of Numbers in my own devotions recently, and I wanted to speak on some of the things that we have here in these two chapters of God's Word. I wonder if you were given the opportunity to live your life at a different stage in history from the one that God has appointed to you, when would you pick to be born? I'm sure there are probably some stages in history where hardly anybody would choose those particular eras, and there'd be other times when maybe a lot of people would think that would be a pretty good time to have been around in the world. Well, I wonder if you were confined to the years that are covered during the Old Testament era. If you had to pick a time to be around in Old Testament times, what time would you go for? There's quite a difference between the experience that God's people had at one stage in their history to what it was in another stage. If you're born during the years of Solomon's reign, your experience would be quite different from if you'd been around in the years of captivity in Babylon, for example. Well, today we have read a little bit of the experience of people who lived at a very special and a very important time in the history of God's people. And God has told us about these things so that we might learn from them. And I want to speak, first of all, about an opportunity missed. An opportunity missed. The people that we read about in Numbers 13 and 14 were people who had lived through some momentous and exciting events. These were people who had experienced terrible times of captivity in the land of Egypt. Egypt was the only land they had known. They were born in Egypt. They were oppressed in Egypt. They had years of hard labor in the land of Egypt. They had even been ordered by Pharaoh that all the male babies born to the Israelites were to be put to death. God, in his mercy, had rescued at least one of those condemned baby boys. His name was to be Moses. And God had raised up Moses to be used as the deliverer of God's people. Moses had confronted Pharaoh again and again, and eventually he had led the Israelites out of their captivity in Egypt. And God had opened up the waters of the Red Sea before them. They passed through on dry ground, and then they saw the Egyptian army being drowned in the same place. And that was a truly special event and series of events that those people had lived through. None of the previous generations in Egypt had known anything like that. These were a privileged people. They were granted a wonderful deliverance. And through Moses, God had brought his people to Mount Sinai. He had given them his law. They had spent the most part of a year at Mount Sinai. And then he led them through the wilderness and through the desert and brought them to the very verge of the promised land. This was a land that God had spoken of long ago to Abram. In Genesis 12, verse 7, God had said to Abram about the land of Canaan, he said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And God had promised Abram that he would greatly multiply his descendants. And God had done that. And there were many, many Israelites that came out of Egypt. And God had promised that the descendants of Abram would return to the land of Canaan after being oppressed in a foreign land. Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 and 16, God said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here." And it was in the days of Moses that that was to take place. And God had spoken to Moses out of the burning bush and told him to lead his people to the promised land. And Moses had done what God required of him. And now here were the assembled multitudes of Israelites, the descendants of Abram. And here they were on the verge of Canaan, the promised land, the land God had promised to give them. And God commanded before the conquest was to take place that spies be sent out. Numbers 13, verse 2, spies were to be, they were sent to spy out the land of Canaan, which God said, "I am giving to the children of Israel. Go and look at the land, because this is the land that I am giving to you people." That's what God said. And we read how the 12 spies were sent out, 12 tribal leaders, and after 40 days exploring the land, they came back. They presented the evidence of the fruit of the land, and they brought their reports. They spoke of how it was a land indeed that flowed with milk and honey. They showed the huge cluster of grapes that they had found growing. And they also reported that there were strongly fortified cities and there were large inhabitants, giants, that dwelt in the land. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, urged the Israelites not to focus upon how strong the walls were, not to focus on how big the men were, but to remember the God who would be with them. And they said in chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, "If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." And they said, "Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But sadly, the words of Joshua and Caleb were to no avail. And the people of Israel sided with the 10 fearful, unbelieving spies. And they talked about choosing another leader to replace Moses. And instead of going into the promised land, of going back to Egypt, where they had come from. God had brought them to that place. He'd given them the opportunity to see how good a land it was. They'd heard how good it was. But now they were wanting to turn back instead. And as a result of that, God declared that that generation would not enter the promised land. Instead, they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And all of those who were 20 years old and more, the people who had grumbled and complained against the Lord, they would die in the wilderness. The 10 spies who had that great responsibility and who had encouraged the rebellion against the Lord, those 10 were struck down by a plague, verse 37 of chapter 14. And they didn't live to see another day beyond that particular day. So here you have a very sad occasion in the history of God's people. Here were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, people who had seen God do some wonderful and very, very special things for them. These were people who had been given a unique opportunity to go forward into a land that God was going to give them as their own land. They'd never had a land that was their own. And within that land, he would do more wonderful things for them. But they refused to trust in the Lord. And they missed out. They missed out through unbelief. They had come so far. They had received so much. And yet they missed out on what it was all building up to. And of that whole generation, only Joshua and Caleb would enter the promised land. Here was an opportunity missed. Here was an opportunity missed for no good reason. And there was no second chance. When it was gone forever. They would die in the wilderness. They would never see the promised land. A sad story about an opportunity missed. And I want to think about that. And I want to think about our opportunities today. When God tells us things like this in his word, it is for our good. And God would alert us to the danger that we would also be people who would miss out on good things that the Lord presents unto us. So I want to think about our opportunities today. We saw recently in looking at Hebrews how these events are referred to in the New Testament. At the end of Hebrews chapter 3, the writer speaks about those who rebelled at that time. It says from verse 16, it says, "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." And then we're called upon to make sure that we learn from the grievous sin of those people who had such a great opportunity set before them. They failed to enter in when the opportunity was right there before them, and when so much had led up to this day. So I want to think briefly today about the danger that we face in our very different times of missing out on opportunities that God may bring our way in life. Now, there are lots of ways in which you can miss out on God-given opportunities. All sorts of things that we could think about, but I'm going to just select a few today. Some of the things that you could miss out on life are more important than others. Some opportunities are there once and once only. Others may come back again. I want you to think, first of all, about education. Opportunities in terms of education. This is particularly relevant for the younger folk. A couple of weeks ago, the boxer Carl Frampton went back to his old secondary school, and the pupils of the school looked as if they were a lot bigger than he was, because there's not much to Carl Frampton. And when he was interviewed about what it was like going back to his old school and about what his experience of school life was, he said that he regretted not studying a bit harder when he was at school. He never really gave his best when he was at school. And of course, he's not the first person to testify to that in regard to their efforts at education. Perhaps, however, this is a good time to remind the young folk in our congregation that education is an opportunity. And education is an opportunity that is usually only there for a little while, and then it's gone. And it is a great blessing for us to have a system of primary and secondary education, and some people go beyond that to a higher level of education. Children in earlier generations didn't have the same learning opportunities as children today have. School used to finish at a much younger age than school finishes nowadays. And it is a blessing, it is an opportunity to gain an education. And I want to urge you to not waste that opportunity. Get whatever learning you can while you're young and when you're able to take things on board and remember things. And if you're a Christian, be sure that you live out your faith in the realm of your studies. Live out your discipleship of Jesus Christ by giving your best efforts to your education. Look upon it that the Lord Jesus each day says, "This is what I want you to study for me. You're doing it for me. You're a follower of mine. Do your best with what I give you to study." Don't miss out on the opportunity of education. Having annoyed the young people, I want now to annoy the younger men of the congregation. And the second thing I'm going to say is to think about the opportunity of marriage. Recently I read in the papers how the authorities in China are concerned that not enough people are getting married. And as only the Chinese can do, they issued some helpful advice from the government. And so people were being urged not to be too choosy in looking for a marriage partner in life. And they were being advised to settle for someone who is more or less okay. If you find someone in life who is more or less okay, that ticks most of your boxes, well, just settle for that. Don't be ridiculous in looking for someone who is everything that you would ever want a life partner to be. That's what the Chinese authorities are saying to people. Well, marriage is something where God sometimes presents opportunities. At some stage in life, God may bring a girl or a woman into your life, and she may seem to you to be well suited to you. Well, of course, nothing will ever come of it unless you take the initiative. God may hand you the opportunity on a plate, but you're the one who has to take the opportunity. In doing so, you have to take the risk that your feelings might be hurt and that things will not work out the way you hope they might work out. But God doesn't give any guarantees in the area of in this kind of area. He doesn't give guarantees, but he does give opportunities. And this is one thing in which God presents opportunities. Opportunities for marriage, and that's something where men need to be alert to that. And don't go through life regretting that you hesitated, that you didn't do anything. It's better to have tried and have your feelings hurt than it is to not have tried at all. If you make the move and it doesn't work out, well, you'll know it wasn't to be. But if you don't do anything, you'll always wonder, what might have happened if only I had had the courage to take the opportunity that was there. There's no harm in asking, and sometimes you have to do more than ask. Sometimes you have to seek, and sometimes you have to knock. Don't miss the opportunities that God presents that are marriage opportunities. The third area I want to speak about is the area of service, Christian service. For many people, there comes at some stage in life, and many maybe at various stages, a time when you're given the opportunity to serve the Lord in some way. Perhaps a young person might be asked to write a little piece for the Messenger magazine, or you might be asked to help in something that's being done at the Holiday Bible Club. Maybe you could be asked to give your testimony at a Scripture Union meeting at school or some other such event. Or perhaps an adult may be asked to take on a particular role within your own congregation or within the wider church. Maybe you might be asked to help with something like the Girls' Brigade, which is neither a congregational thing nor a wider church thing, perhaps. Someone might be asked to do secretarial work, someone to do treasurer work where there is an organization that has funds. You could be asked to teach a Sabbath school class, whether on a regular basis or occasionally. Asked to help with a CY group or with a toddler group or something like that. Or maybe in terms of things in the wider church, you might be asked to help cooking at a camp or serving on some church synod committee. Last year, we had an election of elders within our congregation. And as a result of that election, four men were given the opportunity to consider serving as elders within our church. All four of them agreed to take on that role of eldership with its various responsibilities. And those four men have been a blessing to me, a blessing to the session, and a blessing to the whole congregation. But all four of them wouldn't have found it too hard to find a reason for saying no. But God so worked that they saw that as being not just something to be dismissed, but something to be taken seriously. And in the grace of God, they were able to accept that call as being the very call of God himself. Today, this year, in our congregation, we have an election of deacons. And today, it may be the case that some of you men may be given the opportunity to serve Jesus Christ in that role as a deacon within this congregation. And if that does happen, I urge you to give that very serious, prayerful thought. If it happens, think upon it as God opening up for you the opportunity to serve him. The opportunity to do something new and something that will be challenging. Do not turn away from it unless you have very good reasons to turn away from it. It is no ordinary thing to be elected to be an ordained office bearer within the Church of Jesus Christ. Make sure that you don't turn away from that for bad reasons. It was bad reasons that the Israelites had for turning around and going back into the wilderness. Bad reasons. God sometimes calls us to things that are daunting, things that are challenging, things that are demanding. But God is with us in those things. And he doesn't call and then leave us to labor in our own strength. To those who in the days of Moses were saying no to God, It says in chapter 14, verse 34, God says, "You shall know my rejection." Those people were placed, had a great opportunity placed before them, and they said no to God, and God said, "Well, you have rejected me, and now you will know my rejection." It was a serious opportunity missed. The opportunity to serve Jesus Christ within his church is one that men should consider with all seriousness. Never lightly say yes to such a thing, but equally, never lightly say no. The opportunity of service. And then the fourth area of opportunity I want to mention is the most important of all, and that is the opportunity of salvation. Do not miss the opportunity to be saved. This is an opportunity that all of you have been given. You know, because you've seen it in the Word of God. You know because you have heard it again and again from many different lips. You know that you are a sinner. And you know that unless your sins are forgiven, there can be no place for you among the people of God. You know that it is only with the Lord Jesus Christ that the forgiveness that you need can be found. You know it's only Jesus Christ that can change your heart and give you a heart for God. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the only Savior. And Jesus is the one who saves sinners. And he never sends away any sinner who wants to follow him. He's promised that. You know the words and verses like John 3, verse 36, to be true. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, for God's wrath remains upon him. The opportunity of salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. How many opportunities did those Israelites of Joshua's generation have to enter the promised land? How many times did that opportunity present itself to them? Once. They had one opportunity and they didn't take it. One opportunity and they missed it. How many opportunities do you have left to accept God's offer of salvation? How many have you left? I don't know. And you don't know either. But what I do know is that if you're a person who actually wants to be saved, you'll not need another opportunity. Because if you want to be saved, if it matters to you, if you care about it, you'll not wait for another time. You'll not delay. If you want to be saved, you'll take the opportunity that you have now. And if you don't take the opportunity you have now, it's because you don't really want to be saved. The opportunity of salvation. How long will it be there? No one knows. It is the most important opportunity of all. There is only one Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is that Savior. And if you want to be saved, just ask the Savior. You don't need to tell him how to save you. You just need to ask him to save you and let him do it in his way, in his time. And that'll not be opportunity missed. Some opportunities come round again and again and again. With salvation, you don't know if there will be an again. So today is the day of salvation. God says, if you want to be saved, look to the Savior today. Amen.